brought to you by GMSDC Radio and broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia. It's time for Let's Talk Small Business with your host, Stacy Key.
Good morning and welcome to this edition of Let's Talk Small Business, the show that's for entrepreneurs and small business owners. We're every Tuesday at 11:30 a.m., so please tune in. Please watch. We talk about all the things that affect you, small business owners. So this is a show that you do not want to miss. You grab your lunch, you sit down, you listen, you learn, you hear about opportunities, and all the things that impact you, the small business owner. Today, we've got a great topic. We've got some great guests, and it is one of the hot topics that are out there today, and it's health IT. It's the buzz in Atlanta. It's a buzz across the country. And we've got three exciting guests that are going to talk to you about all that's going on in the health IT arena. First, we've got Tracy Grace. She is a small business owner with IBX, and she is very knowledgeable, and she's in the training and staffing space. We've got Christopher Cunney. He is a strategist and IT professional. He is going to share his perspective on this area. And then we've got Cassandra Tansel. She is a pharmacist, and she is very knowledgeable. She's in actually the healthcare industry, and she is going to talk from her perspective. So we've got three great guests that are going to talk about this whole health IT space and what's going on, and then give you some insights on opportunities and things you need to know that are going on in this industry. So welcome to all three of you.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
And so also with me, I'm delighted to have back with me my co-host, Mr. Cassius Butts, the regional administrator for SBA for Region 4. He'll be joining us very shortly. And so he's always nice to have Cassius as part of this team. He is so wonderful to be my co-host. And so before we get kicked off here, I want to hear each of you, first of all, tell us a little bit about your story and your business, and then we're going to jump right into the health IT industry. So first of all, we're going to start with Tracy. Tell us a little bit about IBEX and all that you do.
Well, thank you so much, Stacy. IBEX is a company that was born to help service the health IT industry. We started really as a product of me being in corporate America. I was a vice president of an international consulting firm, and I found an opportunity to really develop a business line specifically for consultants to service the electronic healthcare records conversion efforts. Well, to make a very long story short, the organization decided after a risk assessment to go away from that model. So it was that opportunity that I seized, and that is how I started IBEX. And we've been rolling with health IT and providing consultants to hospital systems and healthcare ever since.
Excellent. You saw the opportunity, you made this shift, and IBEX has been rolling ever since. Great. Congratulations. So, Christopher, Infinite Options, LLC. Talk about your journey there.
Sure. Well, first of all, my background is in IT. I've got over 30 years of IT experience in a wide variety of areas in IT, from development to executive leadership. About half of that has been spent in the healthcare space, most recently serving as a chief information officer for one of the local healthcare systems here in Atlanta, Georgia. And about 5 years ago, left that role and started working with some boutique consulting firms, and began advising various clients like AT&T and Samsung, Ricoh, QTS, and others, as well as hospitals and physician practices and ambulatory care facilities on technology, specifically in healthcare IT, such as electronic health records, health information exchanges, mobile technologies, privacy and security, et cetera. And then about 4 years ago, actually decided to focus my effort on launching my own firm, where we do, again, very similar work in that space. And so, again, we work with a wide variety of constituents in healthcare, again, both on the private sector side, the public sector side, with providers and payers in implementing technology strategies for those organizations.
Now, the word on the street is, if you want to know about health IT, Christopher Cunney is the man. He knows all. He is the God for health IT. Is that true? I just need to know that.
That's nice of you to say. Thank you. I appreciate that. You know, I have been in the industry for a little while.
And be kind of godly.
I have an opinion, that's for sure. And some folks may think it. You know, I have a godlike complex at times. But, you know,
and it's
but
okay. You can be godly.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. You know, I've been in this industry for a while, and I've had an opportunity to not only implement and support technology in this space, but also consult with Fortune 500 companies, startups, and healthcare organizations on the solutions and challenges associated with this space. And I've had the opportunity to just take the arrows in the back, as well as
take a few bullets,
absolutely, as well as be very successful in some of the implementations and strategies that we've deployed. So I'd like to think that I have a perspective on it, and it's nice to know that people think highly of me.
Yes. Yeah, you take a few bullets, but you take them strategically.
Absolutely.
So you survive.
That's correct. Absolutely.
Cassandra, so tell us about your journey.
Well, I've been a clinical pharmacist for more than 25 years, and I started my career working in the hospital. I was the clinical coordinator for a hospital in Baltimore, Maryland. And then I did that for around 11 years or so.
And so you know the ins and outs. You know what really happens from this healthcare perspective.
Exactly. And so once I moved to Georgia, I decided to experience the other facets of pharmacy. So I worked in pharmaceutical industry. I worked for an ambulatory care clinic with a leading HMO. And then I also worked for a pharmacy benefit management company. And after a couple of years, I decided to co-found this company, PharmaCare Solutions, mm-hmm. incorporating all of our skills, my skill sets as well as my partners. And so we formed PharmaCare Solutions, mm-hmm. which is a healthcare consulting company. And so we really manage healthcare costs, because we've been in there.
And that's got to be important. That's important.
Exactly. And one of the main issues is medication use.
Ah.
So we our services include clinical, analytical, as well as marketing services to ensure that the patients utilize their medications with positive outcomes. And that's key. We are not only interested in the medications and just dispensing or providing medications for various diseases, but we want to make sure that they are appropriate and you're achieving the desired outcomes.
Excellent. Now, for the record, I want everyone to know that Cassandra did not bring samples with her today, so we have no samples from the pharmacy, so that is for the record.
That's right. Okay. We do not dispense. We're all in consulting, so we help you on the other end.
Great. So let's jump right in and talk about health IT. When we're talking about health IT, let's talk about what is that. And so who wants to jump in and talk about what is health IT so that we're real clear when we say, because I think that's everything that affects the IT part of healthcare, but I could be incorrect. So who wants to take that? What's health IT?
Well, I'll take a stab at it. It's interesting. When I served as CIO for a healthcare organization and some of the conversations I used to have with the executive leadership, I used to say all the time that every clinical and business decision that you make has an IT component built into it somewhere. And so healthcare IT covers really both the clinical, financial, business, and operations of a healthcare organization. Everything from admissions to pharmacy and medication dispensing to care management. To managing the care of the patient, to analytics, to mobility. It really covers the gambit. And what's exciting about the industry now is that the industry is now truly starting to embrace the use of technology. Not only so much just embracing, but there's now an insatiable appetite for it now. So healthcare, which in the past was a little risk averse when it came to technology, is absolutely now embracing it wholeheartedly. And so we're excited to be a part of this transformation that's taking place.
And so this transformation that's come about, is that a result of the Affordable Care Act? What impact has that had on this transformation?
I'll allow one of my other colleagues to respond.
Well, I would say that it is a subset of it, but health IT, I think the emphasis on health IT started even before the Affordable Care Act. I think George Bush was the primary person who started pushing for healthcare organizations to follow suit, just like banks and financial institutions, primarily paper-based, eventually had to go electronic to make sure that the information and the security of it was there.
So it was security-driven.
Correct, correct. Okay, that was one of the primary driving factors of the healthcare information. So with President Bush being a big push behind that, then the Affordable Care Act, of course, followed that. And so if you wrap both of those into one, it became a much bigger and much larger effort. Information technology is really the core of most organizations. Unlike Christopher as well as Cassandra, I am not a, I was not a physician, and my history is not within healthcare. However, there is a large opportunity out there with organizations outside of the healthcare industry because we actually bring a very different perspective. We can bring the corporate information technology perspective into healthcare and provide a little diverse solution, and that's what we bring to the table.
You know, I'd also comment just historically, as it relates to technology and healthcare, you know, in the 60s and 70s and early 80s, technology within healthcare was really focused on the back office. It was mostly the financial systems and the admission systems. And then in the 80s and 90s, you started getting best of breed technology. So you got pharmacy systems, you got oncology systems, you've got all these best of breed technologies that were implemented. And then in the late 90s and now, as we move into the next millennium, it's all about the integration of these technologies and how these technologies can now share data so that, you know, organizations can make smarter decisions about the flow of information that's being collected. And then, you know, what's exciting going forward is, you know, passive technology or passive information. How can clinicians now collect information without having to actually go out and get it themselves? Right. And so you think, look at things like Fitbits and mobile technologies that are collecting information on you that your physician now, your clinicians now can use to proactively take care of your care. So it's moving away from very reactive model to one that's very proactive now.
Now, I I'm showing everybody here my Fitbit because I use a Fitbit. And Cassius, I think, did you have a Fitbit? I thought we were talking about that or something.
Yeah, I did. I had one the other day, and it works perfectly. This is something I think that a lot of people are really getting really associated with and realize you can really count your calories. You can see how well you're doing. But it really goes back to small businesses and the folks who've come up with this innovation to say that this is something I want to invest in. And when you're investing into your health in an everyday form of format, then why not do it? You can count it, track it yourself, monitor it, and so you can help someone else.
Absolutely. And we're becoming much more informed consumers as well, too, when it comes to our healthcare. You know, when our parents and great-grandparents were growing up, they you went to the doctor. Doctor told you that this was the problem. They gave you a prescription, and you went home and you took it. And you assumed that they were making right decisions about your care. With the Internet, with the advancement of the Internet and the information being made available to us as consumers, we can now be much more informed about our care, and with all the advancements that are taking place, you know, we can go into a doctor's office. In many cases, most of us have gone into the doctor's office, and we've already done our own research about what's going on with us, and we know what drugs are out there, we know what the side effects are, we know what the alternative care options are, which makes us a much smarter patient.
You just mentioned something I was going to just ask, something about being a smarter patient, and it also helps the physicians on the other side. I know one of my physicians had talked recently about being able to monitor my pulse over the Internet, literally. So this telemedicine industry, can you talk a little bit more about that and ways it's really changing the way that we live, work, and play?
Because that plays in that whole health IT as well, the telemedicine piece of it. How does that connect with all of this?
Well, I'll respond, and hopefully my colleagues, I don't want to dominate the entire conversation. But
you're the god, right?
You're so kind. So again, you know, what's happening in the industry is this true transformation of the use of, you know, what used to be very consumer-based technologies like the iPad and the cell phone. You know, those advancements in those technologies have allowed us and clinicians to to manage care in a remote care setting. And so now I don't necessarily, you know, have to go to my physician's office to be treated by that physician. I can have, again, things like Fitbit and passive monitoring technology, telehealth solutions that will allow that physician to gather the same information they would have collected if they were in the doctor's office, and still treat you remotely. And there's, you know, tremendous benefits associated with that. One, it reduces the cost of care.
Yeah. That's the issue. The cost of care goes down.
Absolutely.
But you make a point about the cost of care. One thing that this administration, that this president has really been big on, is cutting down the amount of paperwork that is used in business settings, but also in the healthcare industry. And if you could just talk a little bit more about how that can help your lives that much more better, not to have a pile of papers to carry around to flip through charts, but actually have something that's at your fingertips.
An iPad.
Yeah.
Get
that,
give me an iPad.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Well, basically for me, the IT services or systems has helped us with retrieving data. So that we are better able to present our outcomes.
Okay.
Because before, it was tedious with, you know, paperwork and sure, trying to go back. But I think now you can capture this data on an ongoing basis. And so now you're able to really provide those quality measures that now healthcare is moving from quantity of care to quality of care.
Sure.
So I think that is a big advantage to the IT, healthcare IT.
And it helps when you're talking about in terms of patients waiting for their results, you know, right?
Definitely. And one thing I did want to bring up is rural health has a huge impact. The telehealth has had a huge impact on rural health. There are a lot of people in remote places within the state of Georgia that mm-hmm. have had many challenges getting quality care, just the speed to diagnosis, and they've been able to use a lot of very creative telehealth solutions, including imaging, and doctors in remote places being able to access imaging that's here in the Atlanta area to create very effective and very quick diagnosis. And then, of course, that helps with the speed to treatment. Mm-hmm. So telehealth not only helps with that aspect, but also the remote areas within the country.
And Stacey, and to your point, just to add, that actually opens up a whole bunch of much more small businesses in areas that have never really been thought of or created.
Oh, absolutely.
No, absolutely. And I just wanted to comment just give you kind of an anecdotal experience around technology in a rural setting. I grew up in a small town here in Georgia. And my father, rest in peace, about 5 years ago was dealing with rheumatoid arthritis, high blood pressure, diabetes, every issue that we as African-Americans deal with, he had. And so I remember one day taking him to his rheumatologist because he was having pain in his knees. And the rheumatologist walked in the room and had a stack of papers about 3 inches high of his medical record. And he spent about 5 minutes pouring through the records and I guess trying to get caught up on his current state of affairs. And after he looked through the records, he closed the folder and looked at my dad and said, you know, Mr. Cunney, honestly, I really don't know what to do for you right now. Mm-hmm. He said, we can try this or we can try that and see if that helps. And because he didn't have access to, you know, an electronic health record and all the tools that tie into that system that provide analytics and clinical decision support, he wasn't able to make a good diagnosis for my father. So he was practicing medicine. He was literally practicing medicine versus using quantitative and qualitative data that was collected from a wide variety of sources that might have provided him an alternative option to treat my father. And so that's what technology has done. And as Tracy had mentioned, especially in the rural health setting, the use of technology like telehealth services, clinical decision support, health information exchanges, give these rural doctors access to information and specialists who can treat patients that they normally wouldn't have the experience in providing quality care for.
Mm-hmm. But we also have other issues with the telemedicine in those rural areas that we have to overcome.
Technology.
Exactly. Yeah. And so the access to, you know, internet services. And mm-hmm. then also for some of these, they're very poor and unable to afford certain, you know, computers, et cetera. So they don't have that. So, you know, you've got to look at those costs also. And I think, too, as far as billing right now, we need to make sure with the healthcare system that when they go out to perform these services that, you know, billing is possible.
So Cash just touched on it. Opportunity. You know, business owners are, look, small businesses are interested in opportunity. So this health IT area has lots of opportunities. If I'm a company that's looking for opportunities in this space, where are the opportunities here? Let's talk about that.
Well, there definitely are barriers to entry. The healthcare industry is a little different. You can't quite just hop into it without having some knowledge, doing your research. That is one of the reasons why collaboration is so important. Teaming up with others who have experience within healthcare and easing into the healthcare industry. There are quite a few opportunities inside health IT, but also throughout the industry in regards to supplies. Maybe you have a company that you and have warehouse space. You have the opportunity to do supplies for the healthcare industry. So it may not be specifically just the health IT, but there are definitely opportunities in general for healthcare for small businesses. I would say the best way within health IT is to go in partnering with another organization that has some experience in that regards to help you through some of those barriers.
Is it possible to also to add your efforts to the education system, particularly our colleges and universities, internships, et cetera, what have you, pharmacy, for that matter? You know, when we were growing up, we would go to the Eckerd, if you would, and, you know, the pharmacists would have their intern at that particular place. And now, you know, we're considering other places, the VA, which we know is much needed. Can you talk a little bit about areas in which there are some opportunities for people to hear about this technology opportunity and incorporate it into the education system?
Sure. You know, one of the things I do in my work in this space is actually I teach a professional education class at one of the local universities that allows individuals who are in transition to receive a healthcare IT certification. And so individuals who are moving into this space may want to look to, you know, the colleges and universities for certifications and professional training in this space. There also are associations like HIMSS, American College of Healthcare Executives, and others that provide certifications as well. They want not only educate them, but give them exposure and credibility in this space. And then, you know, I think many startups and emerging companies who want to move into the healthcare IT space miss the opportunity to work with the clinical community as well. I mean, you're a small business, you've got an interesting technology. Why not reach out to your own doctor, you know, your own healthcare professional and say, hey, I've got this, you know, interesting idea. Would you be willing to test that for me and be my technology partner? Even, you know, as I consult with large firms, one of the things I encourage them to do, and as Tracy mentioned earlier, this space is a tough space to get into. Because it is all about your understanding of healthcare, because this is the only industry that deals with people's lives.
Sure.
And so when you decide to move into the healthcare space, you've decided to now provide solutions that are going to have an impact on somebody's life. And so the healthcare professionals are very wary about folks who are just coming to this space just for the dollars.
That's a very, very good point, because you're right, it impacts lives.
It does.
It's totally different.
And then also we're governed by HIPAA.
Yeah, you got HIPAA guidelines, absolutely.
So that is important. I think that's where there's been some issues with privacy and security with the Fitbit and other apps and devices, because the company that has that, you know, they have your personal data, and they can look at that and they can sell that to a third-party person. So I think I read about a week or so ago, someone was going before the Federal Trade Commission, to try to get them to enforce, you know, to consider this, to make it that they have to have a place obvious for you to opt out.
Permission
to opt out. Because
okay.
Right now, I don't think you give any consent or what have you.
We
just get the get the device.
No, you go online. When you register, mm-hmm. you give access.
You give
to
access
your, to your
right.
information
right.
if you choose to give access or not.
Right. Okay, then, because that was something key, and I wanted to make sure that people are aware that a lot of people going out there on using apps, and who knows where this data is going and what it can be used for.
Absolutely. One of the biggest challenges that exists in the healthcare space with the use of technology now is the privacy and security component associated with it. There are regulations and requirements that the federal government mandates that providers and their business associates have to adhere to ensure the privacy of your electronic health information. And the HIPAA laws dictate those requirements. And there are stiff fines and penalties associated mm-hmm. with that as well.
Let me ask a question. So mm-hmm. the people of Fitbit, they don't have HIPAA associated with these. That's the issue, isn't it? Because I buy it from a consumer, mm-hmm. so there's no HIPAA attached to this.
Well,
I don't believe so. I think that's part of the issue. Mm-hmm. With right. these devices.
Well, actually, there is. When you provide information about your health, and it can be identified as your information, then that is HIPAA regulated information, and so there are requirements associated with ensuring the protection of that information. One of the challenges you're having happen in the industry is that both on the technology side and on the provider side, there's a sense of denial about whether or not I should be responsible for that information. But the federal government's been very clear. Last February of last year, there was a ruling called the Omnibus Rule that basically held business associates just as accountable mm-hmm. for the protection of that information as providers. And so now there's this higher level of accountability across the board.
Okay, great. As we're wrapping up here, I want to have each of you give some parting words to our listeners about if they're interested in this health IT arena, what advice would you give to them about looking to get into the space? We're going to take about a minute apiece.
Okay, well, if I had to give some advice, I would say think about health IT overall. Think about how IT within any organization will impact the overall organization and feedback. So as you're thinking about solutions, think about what you're best at. What is your core competency and how can that help healthcare? As I've been dealing with different GPO, group purchasing organizations, one of the major things that they look for is to bring new solutions to the table in order to be a part of the GPO. So I would say think about creative solutions that you can offer to hospital systems, utilize the resources that you have available to you, and also consider the security aspects as it relates to healthcare.
Okay. Cassandra?
I would say if you're in the healthcare field, that even though you're more clinically based and you're thinking that you're dealing with patient care services, that you still need to utilize health IT. So I think it's a good place to partner or collaborate with a health IT firm so that you can enhance your services and that will make you more productive. So I think there is sometimes we don't think about that. So we should think outside the box and partner with these companies to generate a mutual agreement and mutual services.
And Christopher?
You know, I've had an opportunity to work with a wide variety of organizations, Fortune 5s as well as startups, and in all cases, I've had the experience of companies bringing solutions to the table that don't have a problem to solve. And so one of the things I would encourage folks who are trying to get in this space is to make sure that what you're bringing to the table, whether it's a problem or a technology or a service, that it actually is needed in this space and that, you know, the healthcare organization sees value in it as well. You know, I've seen some really cool technology that's been implemented, that's been developed, but large companies that would you know, Fortune 500 names, that can't sell it in healthcare because it's a round peg trying to go into a square hole. And so if you bring something to the table, make sure it actually has value in this space.
great. I want to thank all three of you for joining us today. We've just started to peel just a bit of the onion in around health IT in this whole industry. This is part of a series that will continue the discussion and the dialogue. Thank you, my wonderful co-host, Mr. Cassius Butts, Regional Administrator for Region 4 of SBA. Cassius and I will continue the dialogue on health IT. Thanks to all of our sponsors, Wells Fargo, Georgia Power, the Coca-Cola Company, and Ronstadt. For without you, Let's Talk Small Business would not be possible. We'll see you next time. Take care.